I forgot to mention during the prayer time that one of the prayer requests that we lifted up at the awakenings is to pray for Pastor Carol and Leo because there were some fire in the Brunswick County. Sometimes we don't realize that forest fire can also happen down south, down east, right? So if you can lift them up in prayers. Thank God that I believe that they're okay. There are no property damages on their side. But I just thought of sharing that to everyone. We are continuing this series of sermon on rediscovering Jesus that began on Ash Wednesday. If you all recall, we started this during the beginning of the Lent, inviting us to a deeper diving in on God's Word in a way that the story of Jesus can help us understand not just about Jesus, but really having an encounter of Jesus in the way that we have never felt before. We've been invited again to be madly in love with Jesus through this sermon series. And this run through the whole Lenten season, and now we're in the season of Easter. My prayerful goal is that through the lectionary, we'll begin to see and have a depth of renewing of our faith in the Lordship of Christ. So our lectionary this morning brings us to a fairly familiar passage to most of us. This is the third resurrection appearance of Jesus. And he showed up to several of the disciples once again. And Jesus here restored Peter through the line of questionings. We will come to that later on. This morning, I'm going to take us a look a little bit deeper about what this love really looks like and how this true love becomes an empowering experience for Simon Peter. So let's pray. Dear God, use my imperfection to be the message and the bearer of your word. Fill me with your spirit, Father God, so that your word will become relevant in each of our lives. Remove me from the equation, Lord, so that people can hear what you have to say to us. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Think about the moment in your life when you deny your identity to others. Denying our identity is an all too often reality. We deny who we are because we worry that we won't meet people's expectations. We deny who we are because we are afraid to disappoint others. We deny who we are because we could be judged, even rejected for that truth that we are about to share. We deny who we are because we do not believe that we will be liked for who we truly are, or that we will be loved for who we truly are. I remember moments in my life, especially when I was growing up in the Philippines, in the very humble beginnings, how I somehow fit in that category, trying to deny my true identity because I want to please others. I want to get along with others. I want to hang out with those whom I feel that I wanted to be. And we play it safe around a lot of people in our lives, pretending, and rightly so. Not everyone, after all, deserves our truth. Not everyone can be trusted with our truth. And if this is the way we feel with people in our lives, even those closest to us, I suspect the same would be true of our relationship with Jesus. The story of Peter's denial is one of the most instructive narratives in the Gospels. In fact, it is the tale of a human frailty, of deep remorse, and ultimately divine forgiveness and restoration. As with what we glean from the Bible, Peter was one of the closest disciples of Jesus who vowed never to leave on his side. Do you remember that? He vowed to always stick with his master. He was with him all throughout most of his journey in his walk on earth. He was there with him in the miracles. He was there with him when he was called from his humble beginnings as a fisherman. He dropped the nets along with other disciples, other fishermen, and followed Jesus. And he experienced this profound moment of giving up his life for the master. And yet, at that moment, when Jesus was carried by the soldiers and began the beginning questioning him and beginning to put him on a mock trial, where was Peter? He was nowhere in sight. In fact, when someone found him, he denied him and abandoned him. Not just one time, right? Not just second time, but how many times? Three times he denied and abandoned Jesus. And we know from the Bible that Peter experienced a profound moment of self-awareness, of self-realization, and repentance after realizing he denied Jesus as his Lord and his Savior. And this episode was recorded in all of the synoptic gospels, particularly detailed account from the Gospel of Matthew and Luke and Mark. It is important for us to look back on that as we studied John 21. We cannot learn about Jesus' encounter with Peter without going back to that story of Peter's denial. Because not only that Peter denied Jesus three times, but it also exposes his own rejection of his own identity. You remember in the Bible, in the Gospel, when the question was asked, aren't you one of the disciples? Are you one in the company of Jesus who hang out with Jesus? And what was Peter's response? No, sir. I'm not part of that group. I'm not part of the Jesus disciples. This was the man who given up his life to follow Jesus. This was the man who walked alongside with Jesus in every miracles that he had done, in every places that he went to. He showed up. Even he showed up in the washing of the feet. And he said, give up. Wash everything from me. Do you remember that? That was Simon Peter. Wash everything, O Lord. But when it was time to take a stand, that very same Peter took a hike. Like many of us, or like Peter, many of us return when failure comes around. We go back to what we used to. He went back to fishing. He went back to what he used to do. I want us to think about that for a second. We're seeing ourselves in Simon Peter in so many different levels. But thank God, Jesus is not over with Simon Peter yet. Jesus is looking after him. And Jesus shows up to him. He wants fellowship with him. He wants to care for him. And he wants to tell him how much he's not over yet. He shows up on the shore on this story, he hosted a meal one more time and tell Peter, "Peter, I believe in you. I know who you are. I know your identity. And I love you. And you are exactly the disciple that I need. The disciple that the world needs. And the disciples that God and the world needs." Jesus was not over yet with Peter. And Jesus offered Peter a warm meal and a very pointed question. "Peter, do you love me more than this?" Now it's time for a little lesson on Greek, okay? There are, when we talk about the word love in Greek, because the New Testament was written originally as Greek language. So there are three meanings of love when love is mentioned in the New Testament. The first is what we called as eros. You remember the word eros, erotic love, which means a very physical love. That was the first meaning of love in Greek. The second is philia. Philia means brotherly or friendship love. A love between one friend to another. It's like church brothers and sisters. We love each other, don't we, church? And that's our filial love. And the third love is agape. I'm sure many of us have heard that. We use that on Monday, Thursday night, by the way. Only a few weeks ago, we had an agape meal. So agape love is the third form of love. In other words, when Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" This is how literally what Jesus is trying to say to Peter. "Peter, do you love me enough to sacrifice everything of what you have for my sake?" And here's how Peter literally answered back. "Jesus, Lord," or "Yes, Lord, you know I'm your friend." See how the difference was? Jesus invites Peter, "Do you love me?" And an agape love. But Peter responded over and over again, a love that is filio, a love that is friendship. I wonder whether at some point in our lives we responded that way. I wonder whether there are times in our lives when push comes to drove, when we are hit something in our lives, we sort of kind of be like Simon Peter. We begin to abandon our own faith. We begin to wrestle with our faith. We begin to question our own faith. We begin to some kind of deny ourselves and be on the boat that's like Simon Peter. I'm just going to take the hike. But thanks be to God, Jesus is not over with Peter yet. Peter's denials were not the end of his discipleship. But he is experiencing a whole new beginning and perhaps an expansion or deepening of his call. And this encounter in John 21 is really transformative in the life of Peter and the other disciples who are witnessing this. Because this leads Peter to some kind of a repentance and restoration and a renewed sense of purpose. At that very moment, he is not only forgiven, but also entrusted with the responsibility of shepherding Jesus' followers. This moment marks a turning point in Peter's life. From a disciple who faltered, a disciple who is fearful, he became a bold and courageous leader in the early Christian church. That same Peter who denied Jesus three times and was invited back by Jesus back to his fold was that kind of the same Peter who delivered a very powerful sermon on the day of Pentecost, leading conversion of about 3,000 people. His boldness, his authority are evident as he proclaimed the word of God, performed miracles, and stand firm in the face of persecution. That same Peter who denied Jesus was the same Peter who now stands resolute, filled with the Holy Spirit and unwavering in his commitment to Christ. Church, Peter was not over with him yet. And Peter is not over, or Jesus is not over with you yet. His failure did not define his future. Peter's journey from denial to restoration is a profound testament to the grace and redemptive power of Jesus. A powerful reminder that failure is not the end for all of us. It's a moment of our weakness and sins. It's a moment where Jesus offered forgiveness, where he showed up and invites you back to a path of restoration, inviting you back to repent and turn back to him and to embrace a new life with a new purpose that he offers. And because Jesus never gave up on Simon Peter, he wants him to be in love again. Notice here that he wanted, or Jesus wants Peter to drop his nets again and followed him. He called him for a renewed relationship, a new kind of leadership. And this kind of relationship will involve giving up his life, a kind of love that requires an inherent expectation of the doing. This love that Jesus is telling Peter and to us is a love that is courageous. This love is very risky. This love is unwavering, regardless of what we are called to be and what God called us to do. This love is really about being Jesus to others. So this morning, church, do you love Jesus? Church, do you love Jesus? Church, do you love Jesus? As we come to the table this morning, Christ called Peter and he's calling us today. As individuals and as communities of faith, to love Jesus again. Oh, I praise God that I love Jesus. And somebody reminded me again on that word, we need to be madly in love with Jesus again. Don't we? Because we cannot afford not to love him. The times in which we live are no time to say we have never done it the way before. No time to turn back to what we used to. This time more than ever are times that call for the best love of God. The best love for our neighbors and the best love even for our enemies. Or better yet, these times cry out for the love to which God calls us. And that God will bring to life within us for the sake of others. Let us pray. Forgive us, Father God, because there are times when we have missed the opportunity. Just like Simon Peter. We want back. We want to go back again to what we had done before. To what we used to. Because this is comfortable for us. But just like what you have done to Simon Peter, you're not finished with us yet. And failure is not the end. This is not the end of our discipleship. You called us for something bigger than ourselves. To have a love that is courageous and risky and unwavering requires us to say yes to God. So this morning as we gathered in this Lord's table, may we encounter you again in a whole new way. As we declare that indeed Jesus is alive. For it is in your name that we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.